Ouais. Priya, I thought first, talking about religion, and then I thought, as I turned on this, that I should talk about you don't have to do anything, that experience I had as a hypnotherapist. So which one do I start with? Well, the religion thing is really, well, let's just start with that one. So here we are again. A religious organization with problems. Leadership problems or follower problems. Well, I just watched this movie, Hawaii, from 1966, I think. A good movie about how a Christian priest arrives to Hawaii trying to save the heathens. Clashing with their own culture and spirituality, and causing social problems, you could say. I just thought when I saw this that we have politics, we have economy, we have all kinds of things that affect our society. And us as groups, but nothing affects a society so as powerfully as religion. I know some people say that nothing has caused as many wars as religion and this and that. But it's not that what I'm saying, really. Well, maybe true or not, I don't know. But you know, when we look at a religious organization, we we should be aware of. Especially such an organization affects the members very deeply. And of course, because religion or spirituality deals with the deepest, deepest, deepest foundations of our lives. Morality, value systems. That involve every aspect of your life. And yes, maybe that's why there can also arise powerful conflicts. In groups ruled by religions or societies, or between them, of course. Well, there came that Christian priest with the full authority of the church behind him, the Christian church that was going to save the world. And he comes there on a ship. One of all those trading ships that basically contained a bunch of sailors that were more robbers. I'd like to come to Hawaii to pick some young, beautiful girls for a night or two after a lonely journey across the seas. And there is the stern priest shouting at the people living there, interfering with their marriage ceremonies and their and condemning their gods. Saving them. Well, he meant well, and he was so convinced that he was absolutely right and had the authority from God to do what he did. But the result was not what you expected. And of course now we see that these priests, these missionaries way back, they were also used by power people for taking control. Over other countries, other people, and what better way is there to take control over other people than through religion? And through priests. Let people learn to respect as the representatives of God, never to be questioned, always to be trusted. Because they are embodiments of truth, purity, honesty, mercy, and all that. A servant of God, and bodies and if you dare to divert or, God forbid, criticize such a person or the teachings of the church or the group, and hell awaits you. I mean, we're talking serious, deep stuff here in the human soul in action. So I don't even think it needs to be mentioned that this all stands and falls on whether such men or women or God are actually what they appear to be. Are actually honest and pure-hearted and tolerant and merciful and the best friend of everyone. Truthful, honest. Self-controlled in the sense of not being victimized by selfish desires. Whether it's money, power, sex, or whatever. Now, every now and then, it gets revealed that such a church or group organization have been compromised, you could say, that there is corruption, hypocrisy, abuse. Leaders who are actually not qualified, who are not what they pose as and are respected to be. And of course, if that is spread too wide and high and deep in that organization, having turned into corruption, then we have a problem either with individual people or, if big enough, for the entire organization. Some may say that, well, I shall not criticize saintly people. We can never understand their actions, and it's said in the scriptures that even if a saintly person commits an abominable activity, is still saintly. I'm sure there are many scriptural quotes being used in such situations. Now, others, of course, just say, away with the hypocrites. Off with their heads. Now, people are the way they are. That's just the way it is, right? We can't change who we are just by pretending. Or just by putting on some kind of dress or title or name. And of course we're allowed to be who we are with all our virtues and vices and our goods and our faults. Again, that's all we have to live with. But the problem appears when someone takes up a position of being something one isn't. Of being perfect and pure and trustworthy when one isn't. and one is pretty much like all the others. Maybe just more ambitious, even. I think that's where the problem appears. And so what to do? We can't just sit here philosophizing all day and night. Well, if you ask me, this is what to do. A social structure, whether it's a society or a nation, religious institution or whatever, has to be built in such a way that it can function with the people who are in it. We hear stories, maybe legends, about great kings of yore. Who were honest, brave, and loved by everyone, and were able to take nicely care of their societies. Spiritual teachers. And saints. Of spotless character. But where are they today? Someone once told me in a spiritual movement that I was a member of that, you know, even if we don't have any qualified brahmanas or spiritual leaders, someone has to do the job. So we need to act like that anyway. But doesn't that mean to pretend to become hypocrites? Which was the reason I didn't like the religion I grew up with in the first place. And in India, they had the gurus that were gurus because they were enlightened souls, shining in their own glory. There was no doubt about it. At least that's what we read in the scriptures and stories from there. But where are they today? Well, still people need them. So they make them up. Some act and promote themselves as such. And some idealize others as such. Because they think this is what is required, right? Perfect people to look up to. Then everyone will line up behind them and the society will be strong. But it doesn't work like that. It can for a while. But as you say, truth prevails. Reality shines through sooner or later. You can't uphold something that is not founded on a, resting on a stable foundation. Well, if we look political at societies, we kind of accepted that. There are no wholly empowered sovereign kings anymore, hardly, in the world. Well, the monarchists may say, well, that's because the Republicans kicked them out, but we know why. Because they were not qualified to protect and care for their people anymore. So the modern democratic systems as faulty as they may be, that we can especially see now, are attempts at making our societies function with what we've got. How can a society be run by unqualified people? Or rather, without that super qualified person. Well, I would say a social system, a nation or whatever, has to adapt and reflect the people that it consists of. If it doesn't, then it's faulty and won't work in the long run. And so it is with a religious group, a spiritual group. And I would say the need is ever even greater. Because religion, spirituality affects people much more deeply and powerfully. We find it in the corporate world too, where, especially here in Sweden, I think, there are corporate structures that are flatter and not so hierarchical with a big guy on the top. And it's chain of command coming down. But depending more on qualified people in the different departments. I myself worked in such a company, and a big one. And it worked well. Again, religious organizations, spiritual organizations, but they still often hang on to very autocratic structures, theocratic, patriarchal, even I guess because they are generally very conservative and built on or by people who try to base them on as faithfully as possible on what they read in old scriptures, sometimes from thousands of years ago, at least hundreds of years ago. And who, seeking their guidance from spiritual authority rather than from the mundane world, often ignore or even despise anything coming from the society they live in. Sometimes in fanatical ways, such as that being a society of the devil or of Satan or of demons. I think this actually might be one of the main reasons why so many spiritual societies appear, grow, flourish, and then dwindle, fall apart, or stagnate. So again, practically, what would be the solution? What is this guy suggesting here? Well, rather than rubber stamping a guru as some figurehead, idealized beyond all human limitations. Forcing such teachers, because that's what they are really. To more or less become actors. We're attracting those with megalomaniac tendencies. The teacher role again, that's what a guru is and is supposed to do, to give guidance and knowledge and teach students. Should be realistic. A person should be allowed to have shortcomings and limitations and faults, and students should be allowed to. Acknowledge those too. And as far as organizational leadership of management and so on. You are not an empowered, special, demigod-like representative of God and the Acharyas. Just because you are put in such a position, it's a job, it's a service, it's a duty, it's a responsibility. And a great responsibility, because the lives of other people depend on you. If you're in charge of a building where others live, you've got to make sure that they have proper heating and water and can live happily. It's a servant position. We might talk about kshatriyas, thinking about Arjuna and Yudhishthira and so on. But if we wait a little with the fine Sanskrit words, it's a way that people with leadership qualities serve the society by protecting and taking care of others. Making sure the society is well functioning, tending to all the needs of the people, and is peaceful. If they cannot do that, they are not qualified for the job and should be replaced, just like anyone in any job position, and so on. Now I hear some voices, loud voices, it seems, demanding that the leaders should resign, all of them, should leave over their positions to others. And well, I would say, well, revolutions, we have seen too many. And we know they tend to get violent and destructive. But I have studied books written by very expert leaders. And one thing I learned was that the best leader is the one who makes him or herself not needed anymore. Who can inspire and teach and train others to do the work, to manage. And then, of course, they are free to do even higher responsibilities. But one who just clings to their position year after year after year, sometimes being able to arrange a situation that does not demand neither credibility nor accountability, maybe one who is very attached to that position because of personal benefits. Whether financial, Well, here I think it's mainly just a matter of learning how successful leadership is done in well-functioning organizations. Rather than reinventing the wheel, or staying with medieval models that are so foreign to our contemporary society that they can only be described as experimental. Anyway, just a few words, and I guess this discussion could continue, and you are welcome to do so, commenting here, and I can pick up on that. I'm not just sitting here trying to give the solutions, but just contribute with my own thoughts about this topic, which I think is important, if not crucial.